your brotherhood in the world. That means around the globe, there are those who are experiencing attacks. And the same thing that you're doing is the same thing that they're doing. We must resist him. We must never forget that our enemy, he's constantly looking. And this is something that I grew up not knowing, because I thought, he wouldn't want me. I'm a nobody. First of all, he would love for us all to feel like we're nobodies. Matter of fact, he'd like to back us into that lane and just make us think that we're over there where the slow traffic is. No one's noticing us. We don't matter to anybody, or we don't matter to anything. He tries to mark down your price, strikes through your value and puts 50% off. He tries to make you feel like you're worth nothing. And that, you know, like, I'm not like them, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not. That's one of his favorite words. And it gets in our head. We start using it and feeling like we're not something. And the Lord is just trying to show us that we're his children. We're part of his family. But he looks for weaknesses to exploit. So he's on the lookout for any way to offend or any way to destroy. Now, we know what I'm saying. Everything I'm telling you tonight, you know it. But it's just reminders. It really is. We're just reminding ourselves of things that we know. And he will use your weaknesses. Your weaknesses, he'll use it to gain advantages. Now, here's the thing. If my weakness is I just don't find time to pray, that's a fatal weakness. That's a fatal weakness, because I have to find time to pray. I have to pray and have a relationship with God. It has to be two-sided. I have to be able to go to him in prayer and go to him in my worship, because I'm building a relationship. Luke 8 in verse 4 and 5, when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And that, you know, I'm not going to read this whole lesson to you that he gave on the seeds, but I'm going to just show you one. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now, we know there was three other kinds of seed, but we're focusing on the wayside. The word of God that falls, it falls on the heart, but because it lays there and the birds of the air devour it. He said the birds of the air, that's what he likened it to. The birds of the air, they devour it. And now he explains it in Luke 8, 11 and 12. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, just like we're hearing right now. Then the devil comes. They hear it. They're in a church setting. It didn't say they're out in an alleyway and they're barely picking up the sound vibes. No, they're listening to it. But because the seed that falls is in the wayside, because it was trampled down and it was left there. It never rooted. It never was buried. It never fell into a place where it was consumed or used. And the birds of the air came and they devoured it. In practice, what this would be like is someone hearing a lesson. That lesson is teaching them what they need to do to have victory in their life, to be overcomers. Every one of us need to be overcomers. And we think we've overcome it all, and then something comes along and there it is, something else. We have to be overcomers. But to be an overcomer, we have to do that by prayer, by worship, by coming in here and getting our batteries recharged, being encouraged in the Lord, helping others. Amen. It's not one way. We're helping others and we're praying for others. We're not always just praying about ourselves. But that's what this work is about, is involving ourselves in the kingdom of God, actively becoming a part of the body of Christ and not discounting ourselves, thinking that we're not worth anything. We should never discount ourselves. That's a ploy of the enemy to make you think, well, I'm not like them. All that it takes, listen carefully, all that it takes for you to be like them, whoever them are. I'm talking about the body of Christ. All together we make up the body. There's nobody, one person here that makes it up. It's all of us. But all it takes is for us to feel like they are up here and I'm somewhere down here and I just don't get it. It's that kind of thinking. I just don't know. They're really flying high, and I'm down here in my little area, and I'm just little old me. Don't bother me. That right there is wayside. And it's not about location. It's about right here, mentality. How we see ourselves as the kingdom of God, as it regards His kingdom. And all it takes is this right here. This is a simple thing. Go to Him in prayer and just start talking to Him every day. That's it. That is all it is right there. That is all it is right there. Just go to Him and talk to Him every day. And as you begin to talk to Him, you're going to get familiar with talking to Him. And before long, you're going to ask Him to do something, and He's going to do it. And you're going to say, God, I thank You for what You've done. And you're going to draw nearer to Him. That's all it's about right there. Now, I'm not talking about plan of salvation. We know that here tonight. Being baptized in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about maintaining it after the Lord's filled us. And before we're filled, we can get close to Him by the same measure. And it's very easy then to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be baptized. But see, people can be filled and then just drift off and label themselves as a misfit. I'm not like that. I don't, and use all these negative words to differentiate yourself between the body of Christ, when all it takes is a conversation. That's it, a conversation. I've had best friends in my life that were started simply by us having a conversation. Meeting at school. Hey, I noticed this about you. You drove, you go home that way. Yeah, I live over there. Hey, let's hang out. Okay. That's how I got to know my best friend in high school. Just, man, we were buds forever, it seemed like. But it was just a conversation. If people can do that, surely God can do the same thing. Same token, it's the lack of that conversation that friends begin to separate. I had a kid from high school, maybe. I think it was even junior high. Called me after I got married. Hey, this is Tim Moran. Remember me? I said, yeah. How you doing? I'm married. I haven't seen him since ninth grade. But he decided to call me up because we were buddies. It's like we had one class together or something. Seriously. And lunch. But he called me up because we had this conversation or, you know, a little class together, and he remembered me. And, you know, there's people that have that same relationship with God. I went to this kids' camp one time, or I was in this revival. And you know the thing is, there's that song that says, call him up, tell him what you want. We need to be more like Tim sometimes. You need to call him up and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. See, he won't be like me, standoffish like, you know, dude, a while back. No, not God. Because he's about souls. He's about souls. We need to reacquaint ourselves because he knows us very well. Amen. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He takes it out of their heart. There's no other scripture quite like that. It makes it so clear. The devil comes and reaches into your brain and takes out what God put in there. How does he do it? Oh, he don't reach his hand in there. He uses circumstances. Misdirection. You know, I've always felt like the things that crooks do, pickpockets and such, they get that from their lower father, not the heavenly father. You know, I mean, they devise means to cause you to not even know that they're just emptying out your pockets. That's not a godly thing. But I think that's a good parallel to let us understand how the enemy of your soul can come along after a great sermon and take every bit of the good out of your head. I heard of a guy one time, he came to church, had a really great experience, and before he got home, he got mad at somebody, and just the stuff that came out of his mouth condemned him. And he said, I'm a failure because I couldn't even make it home before I got mad. I said, no. You just need to repent over that. And then, you know, plug the extension cord back in and reach back and get a hold of what happened at church. It's still yours. Repent over that. When you repent, it's cleared out of the way. try not to do that again, okay? Especially in front of the kids, you know? But we can kill ourselves with just one thing we do, and we think, oh no, I'm lost. The Bible doesn't say anything about how we feel. The salvation's not a feeling, but we feel. But see, the Bible doesn't talk about the feeling part of this, because you can't equate that to everybody. There's times I come here and I feel tired and exhausted and just down. But I don't stand up here and say, oh, I tell you what, I'd like to just go home if that's all right with y'all. No, I've got to be upbeat because there's something to be upbeat about. I'm not faking it. My God is always the same. He's always wonderful. But we can short circuit. We sure can. I don't want to. So see, the devil can take that out of our heart, the word of God, and he said, that's wayside people. That's why the wayside is not a good place. What it basically exists, there are people, the word of God falls on them, but they just don't do anything. But if we hear it, and then we apply it, that right there is all God's asking us to do. Hear it and apply it. It fits somewhere. He just wants us to apply it. Our defense is the word of God. And when it's planted into our minds, it'll either take root and produce godly character or it'll be removed by the enemy. Amen. That's practical, but it happens. We need to be particularly aware of this when dealing with new believers. They need to understand this and take time to explain it to them. They'll think that they make a mistake and therefore they've lost the Holy Ghost. They've said that to me. I've lost the Holy Ghost. What'd you do? I cussed. No, you didn't. I heard a preacher cuss one time when he's preaching. He didn't mean to. Oh, I got a kick out of it because it wasn't me. And he had to repent too. I've heard some funny stories. And you know, it wasn't funny at the time because people so new in this and so innocent, and they thought they lost the Holy Ghost because they did something wrong. And we should never think and believe that we can have this wonderful experience and just go free, have a free-for-all and sin. No. That direction that we sin on purpose, he that willfully sins, the Bible said there remains no more sacrifice. Doesn't mean you're lost forever. It means you're going to have to pay the bill on that one. You jumped off the cliff, you're going to break your leg, and you will have a doctor bill. Amen. God takes care of us sometimes, but we don't want to get our will in that position of, I am going to walk away from here. Please, don't ever do that. It's dangerous. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Well, that goes right in line with what I just said. It's almost like I had notes. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. So he's talking about anger. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let your anger, everyone's going to be angry. I'm trying to think if I've been angry today. I don't think I have. Maybe yesterday. But I don't want to think about that. I'm in a good mood. But see, we get angry. But it says, don't let it lead you downwards to sin. All right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I remember thinking about that scripture many years ago, and me and my wife were mad at each other, and I was laying there going to sleep thinking about that scripture. Seriously, you know, sometimes the sun goes down on our wrath. The Bible says don't do that, but sometimes it happens. It means we're not perfect. We're still working at this. Amen. We want to do right. We want it to be all right. But do not give place. See, anger and outbursts, acting out of character, short-circuiting in general, it gives a place for him in our little arena, and he'll work you over. Because what we do, you know, with anger, it's a negative emotion. And then at some point, it might turn inwards. Usually it's outwards, but it may turn inwards. especially if we really, really fly off the handle. And then we just start condemning ourselves. Condemnation sets in. And the devil's the only one that's happy, because that's giving place to him. He sets in there and just thrives, because it isn't a godly thing. He has fiery darts that he throws. You know, that's those thoughts that just pop into your head. You wonder where they came from. Bam, bam, bam. Fiery darts. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place in your life to stand up and take control. Don't give him that. Don't let him stand on your balcony and be your voice. Don't let everything be filtered through something that he has set in motion. But just use the words, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And believe that he's leaving, because he has to go. Get behind me. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm still in charge. I'm the leader." That's what he meant. The devil had nothing in that at all. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." We get angry at people. We'll have an outburst at a person. But realize, we're not wrestling against that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness. We're wrestling against things in this world. Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. I've been in just entangled with things like that on a job before, where it just, I didn't realize it started small, and all of a sudden I'm in an argument, and it's just some voice in my head says, "What are you doing? Why are you saying this? And, you know, why are you being angry about this?" It made me realize there's an enemy that's constantly looking for an opportunity to trip you up, to trip you up. We have to know our enemy and realize the importance of our armor. God, give us the total awareness that we have to put on that armor every day. Gird your waist with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace, and have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and use the sword of the Spirit. Depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen. All of that in, we've got to know our enemy. Secondly, lay aside weights. Everybody think just for a moment. Most of the day today, you don't have to raise your hand, but was anything weighing on your mind? Something worrying you a little bit? Something that you would like to have off your mind? We need to learn to lay aside those weights. Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2. "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which," the New King James says, "so easily ensnares us." Lay aside the thing that we know. Because if we can put down the things that we know are trouble, it'll make it so much easier to finally discover the other things we don't know. But when we have things we know that are not healthy for us, when we know there are things that's compromising our faith and the integrity of our character, we truly need to lay those things down. "And let us run with endurance." The King James says, "run with patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." He did it. "The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He suffered for us. He conquered for us. So he's already fought the battle and won. So now we're coming behind him as his children, and we just have to walk in faith and say, "Lord, I need you to give me what you have and help me to be shielded from what's attacking me." Amen. Lay aside the weights. If we know that there's something that is weighing us down and something that's plaguing our peace, we need to go ahead and lay it aside, put it down, and say, "I don't need that." Sometimes we know. We know. I was reading an article sometime back about these guys in up north, somewhere in the northeastern states, New England states, and they had an alligator. And there were no alligators up there, but they had an alligator. And matter of fact, they had two. And, you know, they look so cute when they look like big lizards. And they fed it, and it was a pet. And they said, oh, it wouldn't hurt anybody till it did hurt somebody. And then they were outraged that the law enforcement, animal control, would come and take that alligator because it bit somebody. And they said, it was just an aberration. It doesn't happen like that all the time. It shouldn't have happened, and he won't ever do it again. He's a good gator. You know, they're just not meant to keep in your bedroom. For a few months, we lived, or almost a year, we lived in these apartments. I can't remember what they're called, but anyway, nice little place up there by the mall. And we'd take our dog and walk him out in the pond, around the pond, and Sophie on a leash. And I remember being at the end of that pond, and it had fountains, you know, spraying up, and it was a really pretty place. And then I looked in the distance, and I could see that stream of an alligator's nose just coming straight for the bank. They say they can smell a dog for a long ways off. And I realized it was coming, making a beeline for that little dog. The dog had no idea. I could say, gator, gator, he didn't know. I told my wife, I said, don't take the dog to the bank anymore because there's a gator. And he likes Yorkies or poodles or anything like that. Because they will. They're not meant to be in a house. We know they're dangerous. All right, we know that. But you realize there's people that will take something dangerous and put it in their life like that? Because it's been good for a while. It's never done anything yet. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just wanting to talk about gators. But see, we have to be careful. Just because something has not tripped us up yet doesn't mean it's all right. What if we lose our soul? What if we get offended because somebody tells us you don't need to do that, and we get angry because we're defensive and it hurts our feelings, and now we're upset at everybody because, you know, it was a one-time thing. We need to examine our life and examine these things and say, is it really all right that I have a gator in my bedroom? My goodness, it's going to turn on me one of these days. But we need to look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Who, for joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right end of the throne of God. He's already accomplished it. Let's keep following him. You know, first, it's not saying we need to lay aside every weight, but every weight and sin that ensnares us. There's some weights that we have to pick up. There's some weights that come with life, and we have to bear them, but we are to lay aside the practices and habits that easily trap us or sap our spiritual strength. Every person's different. I realize that. Each person's different and battles different elements in their life. I can't pattern my life after someone who is weak where I'm strong, and vice versa. That, you know, we don't want to follow the lowest common denominator. We need to follow our heroes. We need to follow our Lord. Amen. And truly, pattern our life. We can get no better than reading his character and his attributes and how he behaved and say, that's how I need to pattern my life. And where mine fails, I need to pull it back in line with his. That's simple and easy, I know, and every pastor says it, but it's the truth from God. We need to follow the Lord. We all battle something different. We carry with us, we have a double nature, we do. And that makes our journey more difficult. We have a good nature that can be good and godly, and we have another nature that's of the earth, earthly, the Bible says. And we must be aware at all times that that nature is right there. Right there. Facebook has shown us some awesome things and some terrible things. And one of the things that really rips my heart out is to see beautiful apostolic people that make a quick left turn, and they want to show everybody their freedom. And I mean, like, overnight, they go from this to that, and you're like, who is this, and what did you do? Just like that, they're gone. But it wasn't just like this. No, it just, that's how long it took to get undressed. But it had been in their heart for a while. That's what pastors have to try to get to. That point right there between before they change their garments and they finally fall off the edge. It's right there what pastors are trying to get a hold of people and say, please stay in the boat. Please stay here. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. If you ever find yourself leaning, please be brave enough to call me and say, Pastor, I'm leaning. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you see people and when you focus on those that are exiting, after a while you'll find more because they're in the same groups and you'll just keep looking at them and think, maybe they do know what's going on and they're going to go to heaven too. Maybe. Understand, if somebody is trying to sell a doctrine, that means you get to do everything you want to do and there's no restrictions anywhere. It's not real. It's just not real, because you're going to lose what we have in the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to lose that peace with God. I've seen it. I've seen pastors change overnight. I've seen them leave a church and go get another church. And they have this church that they're going to grow with leaps and bounds until it doesn't. And then disaster hits. I don't want to keep going into those. I have so many of those stories I could tell you. It doesn't ever end well. We all carry that double nature, and we're all able to flip. Dear God, help us to be honest and upright before you. Jesus is our author and finisher. He endured. He focused on the joy that the cross would bring. We must bear our cross while focusing on the joy ahead. We must pick up our cross. That's our self-denial of this world. I'm not a part of this world. I must carry my cross, and I must focus on the joy ahead. Number three, just enough time. Identify personal weaknesses. I know we've kind of said that in these other two points. For 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. It's perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'd rather boast in what I can't do, my deficiencies. I want you to know where I'm deficient so that you'll know it's by God's grace that he's standing here preaching to all these people. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I have issues. I've got problems. I have deficits. But the Lord pours in his spirit and it just fills in all the crevices and all the holes of all the deficits in my character. And it fills it in and it causes me on the surface to look so shiny and clean, because it's the grace that you're seeing. It's not my character. His grace has made me like this. I can do this by the grace of God. Paul was saying, if you only had known me before, but by the grace of God, I'm something I could never have been. It's his grace. All of us are saved by grace. And we've got to keep being saved by grace. See, this thing where you get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, set free, be an overcomer, and then start drifting back out there and because we've got our armor on. No. This has got to be the place that we come most often, consistently. I'm talking about to worship. And we got to be careful what we worship. There's other things we can be worshiping in that world. But we need to let our worship be here. It's got to be here at the house of God. This is where we've got to worship. We have to keep it right. See, Paul realized that his problem was related to a spiritual attack. Without knowing that, he may have doubted himself or doubted his calling. But he knew this is the enemy that's doing this. The enemy. He pled with the Lord three times. There's a thorn in the flesh. Lord, can you help me here? And the Lord said, ooh. Yeah, that's a tough one. You know what? I'm going to leave it be, because my grace is going to help you out right there. My grace will help you. You know, it's like a person with a bad leg. Somebody gives them a crutch. They go to the doctor and said, well, what does the report say? Am I going to be able to give them a crutch up today? And the doctor says, no, you're good as long as you keep that crutch on there. You need it. So you're just going to have to keep walking with the crutch. That's what happened to Paul. He goes, I got a thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, my grace, lean on my grace. It's not perfect. You're not going to look perfect because you're not perfect. But my grace is going to be sufficient for you. It fills in our voids. It fills in those areas we need it to. Paul, after the first time, you know, I know this man could pray powerfully. And he went back to the Lord again. And the Lord said again, nope. And yet he went back the third time. Lord, have you reconsidered, God of all wisdom and knowledge in the whole world? Maybe you realized that you might have overreacted. Seriously, you know. But again, the Bible tells us to pray and keep on praying, to persevere. So Paul wasn't wrong at all. I have done the same thing. You have too. Just because we don't get our answer the first time, we do not stop and just go back to something. We go and pray and just keep pushing through. We want God to deliver. We know it can happen, and consistent prayer does great things. But the Lord was just saving Paul a whole lot of trouble. He goes, I know you're bullheaded. I know you got a lot of faith, and you got a lot of knowledge, and you know a lot about the Word, and you can talk about all the miracles of the Old Testament. Therefore, let me save you some time, Paul. No. No. Don't pray the fourth time about this. Just no. All right? My grace will help you, and then you're going to die. Like everybody else. So you need to die in the right place, in the right frame of mind. So, yep, Paul died with chains on his wrist and ankle, writing letters from prison. Now, I'll tell you, in my mind, that right there is the thorn. I don't know if that was the thorn he's talking about. Some seem to think that it was a person that was subverting his doctrine, going behind him, and that would make you crazy. And if he's in prison writing letters and it's happening, what can he do about it? But no, he died in prison. And he wasn't complaining. He wasn't complaining. He realized that I'm doing what God has called me to do. My life is not my own. For to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because if I could die and I'd be fine with me, remain in the flesh. Whatever's more needful for you, that's what I'll do. It doesn't matter. He had the right attitude. We all have these weaknesses that need to be identified and brought before God. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody. And some are just like yours. But identify them. Identifying the weakness, that's the thing. Let's stand. And I'd like to ask you all to gather to the front, and we're going to finish with prayer. Because what I want to do is we're going to pray tonight. And this is, you know, our month of prayer. And let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us to identify our weaknesses. Can we do that? Let's ask God to help us identify. And then, Lord, I pray you illuminate them. And then, Lord, I want you to help me to eliminate them by being strong where I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, I want to be strong in the Lord. I don't want to be strong in my flesh. I want to be strong in the Lord. My flesh can be defeated. I want to be strong in the Lord. Can we do that tonight? Let's talk to the Lord. Let's be honest with Him right now, just for a couple of minutes. Let's be honest with the Lord and just say, God, you know me, God, inside and out, top to bottom, Lord, you know me. Lord, you understand my thoughts afar off. Lord, you know my uprising and my downsetting. Lord, my ways are all familiar with you. Lord, yes, you know, you know. And tonight, God, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would look at me, God, as I tell you, as I ask you, God, to understand my problems, illuminate them. I know them, Lord. I know my shortcomings. I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch me and give me the strength to make it. God, give me today the perseverance to keep standing, to keep walking with you, God. Oh, Lord, let me feel your touch in my life that I can persevere. Lord, that I can get back up and I can turn around to the enemy that I know was trying to steal it from my mind, and I can rebuke him and put him behind me, and I can keep you ever before me tonight. Oh God, strengthen me. Strengthen, Lord, my stand. Strengthen my grip. Oh God, I pray. Help us, Lord, today, every one of us, to center ourselves in your will, in your divine purpose. And Lord, I pray that you help us to get a hold of what's controlling us. If it's not godly, help us to put it aside. And then help us to take hold of what is godly and taking hold of us. Lord Jesus, help us to get a relationship with you like never before. Lord, in these next week and a half of prayer and fasting, help us to press like we've never pressed before. In our minds and hearts, let us press on, Lord. Jesus, in your name, thank you, Lord. Help us, God, right now, God, to press ahead. Oh, Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe right now in this atmosphere, you can do some wonderful things.